This is an untitled Tumblr fic based off an ask about fem-ed and headcanons. A Full Metal Alchemist fanfic written by Shayna Storyteller and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13-ish and features the pairing Greed, Ling, Ed, with additional tags for ask fic, Tumblr fic, not fic, recorded live with a studio audience of Is Sweden!
I've been here the whole time! Hello.
Anonymous asked, I'm way too excited with your FemEd fanfiction, and I was wondering, hope it's not an issue, if you had any headcanon about a FemEd in the series, like if it was canon. I don't think it would have changed the story, since FemEd is just as badass in my imagination, but I was thinking, in the interaction with other characters, like Mustang and the crew, Hughes, Armstrong, Hohenheim, Winry, and Alphonse himself, maybe Greed slash Ling and the Chimera. Sorry if I'm asking too much, hope you don't hate me. Shayna's Storyteller replied, no worries, I'm happy to answer. Smiley face. So, Mustang does not realize Ed is a girl until she comes to take the state alchemist exam. Honestly, not even then. Just thinks Ed is an especially pretty boy. Ed realizes this about 2 seconds in and tells Al not to call her sister around Mustang because she wants to see how long it takes him to notice. 6 months later, Ed comes back from a mission and she's 13 and puberty has started to rear its ugly head, and Roy's like, hold on a fucking minute. And for the rest of his life, everyone makes fun of him for the fact that Roy spent years of his life thinking Ed was a boy. Roy also gives himself a heart attack because of all the times he sent a girl into a very dangerous places with bad men. And he tries to give her safe missions for 2 seconds until she threatens to castrate him if he doesn't stop being a sexist dick. He stops being a sexist dick. But he worries and frets. Riza. She and Ed are the only girls on the team. They are best friends. Riza takes Ed under her wing, and Ed's seen too much to be a child, and Riza's not a mother. But they toe this line of best friends and sisters, and Riza teaches her everything she needs to know about being a woman in the military, and Ed doesn't want to be the same type of military woman Riza is. She's too much of a brat for that. But she listens and pays attention, and Riza expected this to be a mentorship, but by the time Ed's 16, they are tried and true friends who spar together and get brunch and help each other get ready for dates. Havoc. The entirety of Havoc and Ed's relationship is playful flirting, mostly because it makes Roy's eye twitch. Havoc is a country boy and goes, well, hello there, ma'am, to Ed when she's a tiny 12-year-old and does silly stuff like say, you're looking awfully pretty today, Miss Elric, in this thick southern twang that's not even close to natural. And it makes Ed laugh, and so she pretends to be delicate Southern Belle with him, places her hand over her mouth and going, why, I never! And by the time Ed has grown into a beautiful young woman, Havoc is so used to playing this game with her that rumors run rampant that Havoc and Ed are dating. Havoc tries to dispel them because now, whenever he hits on girls, they think he's stepping out on Ed. But whenever he tries to get Ed to help out, she just goes, honey, I thought we had something special, very loudly. But she sets him up with her pretty friends, so it evens out. Hughes. Ed is Alicia's dear big sister. To be honest, he's really grateful Ed is there to be such a good role model for her. Oddly, goes even less Papa Bear, because somehow, some way, Ed being a girl gives Roy even less chill, and when she starts dating the nice wide-eyed privates, Roy looks like he'd like nothing more than to incinerate them all. Armstrong meets Ed and is immediately reminded of Olivier. Gives Ed the same treatment he gives his elder sister, which is hilarious. Olivier meets Ed and has never approved of someone so strongly in her life. Her and Olivier bond ASAP, and it's 100% terrifying. Whenever they're all in Central, Olivier, Ed, and Riza will go out together, and it's beauty and grace and terror. Ling slash Greed. Oh, poor Ling. Things go as they go, but something in him tugs toward Ed, and who can blame him? But he needs her, so he still uses her like he does. But toward the end, he's just like, this woman is the type of woman I need one day. And he becomes Greed, and Greed understands. Ed is a precious rare jewel that they must possess. So he offers to sleep with her for Ling, and Ling is furious. But Greed's like, chill. Conquest is only fun when they come to you willingly. But Ling makes him lay off. But Greed still flirts with her a ton, which confuses her and makes her angry, because it's not the dumb prince flirting with her. It's the homunculus. And she likes both of them, and they both like her, and it's just really confusing. So she doesn't worry about that. Then they go on the great camping trip, and Ling and Greed are right there. And Ling loves her. Loves this girl of precious metal and fire who's determined to save the whole damn world. And Greed loves her Greed. The whole damn world, huh? That's something I can get behind. And they tumble together one night, and Ed can't keep track if it's Ling or Greed inside her, but it feels amazing and important and real when little else does. And things go a little differently in the end. Greed and Ling separate, but Greed doesn't die. He gets his old body back, and they all three go their separate ways, but Ling is named Emperor. And there are many beautiful women being sent to him as his bride, one from each clan, but they're not who he wants. If he wants to be the leader no one has ever been, he has to do what they've never done. So he sends an envoy to Central, where Ed is still serving in the Amestrian military under Fuhrer Mustang, with an offer of marriage. And Ed accepts. She thinks she's losing her mind, but she accepts and becomes the official ambassador from Amestris to Xing and, oh yeah, Empress of Xing, which has a ton of responsibilities. And really, Ling, couldn't you have picked on one of your 11 other wives to be empress? No. And Ling never touches his other wives. The role evolves from a concubine position to a political one. And each of his wives becomes spokespersons for their clans. And everyone is very wary of their immortal emperor and foreign empress. But Ed dedicates herself to studying the language and the history and the alkahestry, and becomes a master in the art herself, and combined, her and Ling just make so many good changes. And then Greed rolls up a few years in like, hey, I heard you guys are ruling a country. How's that going? And Ed and Ling don't even have to think about it. They pounce Greed and bring the homunculus to their bed. And Greed just sticks around, being the lover to the Emperor and Empress of Xing. And Al and Winry move to Xing because, fuck it, they're going to be left behind. And the entire country of Xing is like, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, what is going on? But eventually it becomes this thing. Like, hey, didn't Drachma declare war on us or something? Eh, don't worry about it. The Emperor took care of it. How? The army hasn't been deployed. Yeah, he sent the Empress and her brother to take care of it. Our immortal Emperor, who has a non-human immortal lover, sent his mortal wife and brother-in-law to defeat an entire Drachman army. Yeah, we won. Drachma took back their declaration of war and drafted a peace treaty instead. What the fuck? Listen, I don't pretend to understand. He's not sleeping with his 11 wives from the clans. The Empress spends half her time in the library, and no one has any idea what's going on with the immortal monster with sharp teeth, but according to the rumors from the palace, the emperor and empress are most definitely and loudly sleeping with him. But violence is down, poverty is down, literacy is up, and the chances of there ever being a draft seem pretty low, considering our empress casually fights whole armies. Whatever! They can do what they want! Clearly it's working! Around the time Ed turns 25 and Ling still looks the same as when he was 15, it occurs to Ling and Greed that their lover isn't immortal. And they beg and plead, and there are many, many tears before Ed agrees to become immortal too. She only does it because Al tells her to. By the time she's 45, she figures out a way to triple someone's lifespan using alchemy, but it's dangerous and costly and terrifying. She uses it on Al and Winry, who basically bitch for 300 years, that she should have figured it out before they got arthritis. Thanks much. The end. Okay, let me redo the tag. The story is rated PG-13-ish and contains the pairing Ed Greedling. I think. I forget if it's Greed or if it's Ling. We'll re-record that bit at the end. It's fine. With additional tags for Tumblr fic, Ask fic, Not fic. More like a plot outline than a fully plotted plot. This is a Fullmetal Alchemist Tumblr fic written by Shannon Pairing Greed Ling Al. No, Ed. It's Ed. Greed Ling Al is a very different story. Blah, 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 blah. Written by Shanna Storyteller and read by Rena Jenkins. Blah!